Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2021. I had a delightful Easter, sacred weekend full of God, family, and country, and I pray you had the same. Our goal to promote God, family, and country, and protect life, liberty, and property, as you know, we stand with the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. This is our 2 of 2 on April 5th, and we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, indeed, to Liberty Roundtable Live, the good doctor, Dr. Scott Bradley, in the house. And his goal is to preserve the nation. It's been his lifelong pursuit. He's written a book and a collegiate series about it. He gives weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, and more. He's got well over 1,000 videos on his site. FreedomsRisingSun.com is where you go for that. That is FreedomsRisingSun.com. Doctor, welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. And again, it is a beautiful spring day, so I presume that it'll be a great start for a great week, right?
Absolutely. And by the way, we kicked it off this weekend with a real, in my opinion, feast. We talked about this last hour quite a bit, Dr. Bradley, with Lowell Nelson, but I want to give you a chance to chime in as well. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints held its 191st annual or semi-annual general conference this weekend. It was 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, of 5 2-hour conference sessions. So 10 hours of admonition and testimony about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. After all, the name of the church is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so we talked a lot about the different speeches that were given, et cetera, by leaders of the church. Many of them in our church are called president or elder or et cetera for the men. And so we would say President Oaks talked about that, or, you know, Elder so-and-so talked about that, Sister so-and-so. Spoke of that, etc. It was a great event, in my opinion. Very positive, very healing, helps you really focus on spiritual things. The president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, President Russell M. Nelson is what his name is. He's prophet, seer, and revelator for the church. And whether you're a member of the church or not, you know, I highly recommend these talks because they're very positive and healing for those who have suffered through the pandemic and whatever, the false pandemic, whatever you want to say, you know, set that aside for a second. It does give you the chance to heal and to put hope in. And so this prophet, the president of the church, Russell M. Nelson, really spoke about saying, hey, you know what have you learned from the pandemic? Is whether you agree with it or not isn't the point here for a second. What have you learned during it? And he talked about some fundamental principles that I really think are worth discussing. He talked about how, you know, we really need to have less in our lives. We really need to be still. And when we are still and quiet, we can feel God's love and we can learn what his direction for us is in our lives. When will we let the Lord prevail in our lives? Are we going to, you know what, when the society comes back from the pandemic, are we just going to go about our lives and just let it, you know, get full of getting and spending in life and to the point you're just running and running and you can't listen and slow down? Or are you going to say the pandemic taught me to slow down, taught me to say, wait a minute, you know what, there's more to life by living less, if you will. What I mean is less running around and less important things, but more sacred things, things of God. Are you going to let your will become God's will and let God prevail in your life? And anyway, to me, it was a tremendous focus on what's really important. Dr. Bradley?
Well, from my perspective, there was way too much COVID in it, but I understand what you're saying. I really, truly believe that we do have a responsibility to introspect, to consider, to ponder, to pray, to draw nearer to Christ, to our Father, However we bring that about, I think is critically important. I feel like we as a people do spend far more time thrashing about in the world than we need to. The central theme of everything should bring us back to God and Christ. There was one little anecdotal story that I found quite, in fact, it had been commented to me by those that had listened to it, and it was about an experiment about some little rabbits and trying to see what diet effect had on them, on their health and so on. And these were little bunny rabbits from, and it's not an Easter story, trust me, but they were from New Zealand, all the same genetic and all that kind of stuff. And they found one particular group of these rabbits that were under research that had an exceptionally better health program. I mean, they seemed to be just thriving. And everything was the same, diet and everything that faced them, except for one thing. And one was the caregiver of the one little group of rabbits. And they found this young woman that was caregiving these little rabbits was particularly, she was one that handled them, talked to them, expressed caring for them, was very, seemed like she loved them, I guess. And they tried to eliminate all other reasons for why this might be. I mean, these rabbits that all had the same diet, ultimately and finally, this group that this one young woman was caring for had exceptional health compared to the others that had kind of degraded over time because of the, you know, it was a diet that was trying to see if they could build, you know, some health problems into them. And so anyway, they ran the experiment again. Same results. This same young woman with this same caring attitude made all the difference in the world for these little bunny rabbits. And I think the take-home from this is that the kind of atmosphere we create, I mean, you know, within our homes, for example, the way we treat our spouses and our children, the way we treat our neighbors, those that are associated with us, our business associates, those within our church and so on, you know, there's some people that seem to have kind of a poison tongue or a acrimony, or they're just kind of a poison personality. And then there's others that bring light and sunshine and happiness, and it's like, well, this is a story that I think we could say, well, I'm going to be one of those that brings into the lives of those that I associate with a little bit more of a positive environment, you know, one that doesn't, you know, cause people to die early because you've been so miserable to live with or whatever. And it's like, to me, it was like, you know, here's a little, you know, oddly enough, it's, you know, Easter weekend and they do a bunny rabbit story, but that wasn't what it was about. It was about this kind of approach to the way we treat our fellow man. And I think we could learn much from something like that that would help bring a little more light and truth and happiness to people with just a little bit of kindness. And you know, again, it affected some of the people that listened, and they spoke with me later on about it and said, wow, what did you think about the rabbit story? You know, and so I don't know, that's a little takeaway that could fit in anybody's life, I think. You know, your child, someone that needs to feel like, you know, they've got, there's a little hope for what you bring to them. So, yeah, I think there was many, many good messages, and that was just one little simple anecdotal story about an experiment on rabbits.
All right, there you have it. There was a powerful testimony against the evils of abortion that I really thought was worth highlighting as well, Dr. Bradley.
Well, indeed. In fact, what's really disheartening to me is the fact that the vaccine uses aborted fetal tissue in either the production or in the actual formulation of this. And to me, it's absolutely abominable to think that we would take these most innocent of all you know, the most vulnerable of all and sacrifice them on the altar of something that for our own miserable hides to be able to be promoted and you know, be able to somehow go forward and hang on to our own miserable hides. And part of the problem is, and I don't know, Sam, if you've been following some of these stories, but in spite of the fact it's law to harvest fetal tissue and use it in experimentation, there's a big business in that. And there has been some lawsuits.
Yes, and I've been following this. I've been following this big time. I talked about it for 2 hours on Saturday, literally how I tied the abortion murderous mills, if you will, and how a year ago some undercover people tried to expose the baby body part industry, and how really the courts just shut down the folks who tried to use undercover video to expose it, protected Planned Parenthood, and shut down the individuals trying to get rid of illegal baby body part trading, etc. And I was really appalled about it a year ago and couldn't understand exactly why, but now we know why. Because there's recent information that just came out that the Food and Drug Administration is the one buying a lot of the baby body parts for their mice-human experimentation projects, and that the Food and Drug Administration in the United States is doubling down and literally saying, not only do you got to send us baby body parts, but we need to know which ones are the male and female ones, so preserve the genitals earlier and document which ones are male and female so that we can know. And furthermore, please send us these specimens quickly on ice. And all these emails are coming out about our taxpayers are funding all this, in my opinion, psychotic Satanism, as we use this baby body parts. So you got abortions, baby body parts, and then, hey, they claim they're not in the vaccines. The problem is you can't trust these liars. So you know what? I gave a comparison, and then we'll let you rock and roll on this in a second, Doctor, about how you use whiskey to make chicken. Don't worry, the whiskey's all burned off, though. Maybe the whiskey's not in the chicken, but it took the whiskey to make the chicken that way, and it certainly takes baby murders for the vaccines. We'll talk about that coming up with a good doctor in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, back with you live, Dr. Bradley. So these stories, in my opinion, these baby body part discussions and these abortion mills and the vaccines, they're all linked, and they can pretend they're not, sir, but they are.
Well, absolutely they are. In fact, there's if you read the inserts on them, there's some that actually used it in the development of it, and others that but that actually have them incorporated in, and it's like, you know, it's a carrier. It's something that they use in this whole process, and it's absolutely sick and wrong. And I oftentimes make the analogous drawing between what historically, anciently, the parents that sacrificed their babies to Moloch, you know, the big iron furnace, had its belly full of fire and its arms out as a cradle, and and they went and placed their infants on that thing, and they were considered to be an act of piety to sacrifice an infant to this pagan god. And you know, nowadays we sacrifice them in a little different manner. You know, you go in if a child is unwanted or inconvenient at this time or for whatever reason, it's an embarrassment or whatever, we end up sacrificing that child for our own, you know, oh man, I got to finish college first. Oh, I'm not in my career at a point I want to do this. My boyfriend isn't interested, whatever. And so we sacrifice our children, but they're taking these children, and this is a current, real-time kind of thing, and there's videos out there showing discussions of these things, and by the way, Kamala Harris in the past has subverted and actually protected the perpetrators of this from publicity in the way they've handled the courts, and there is a real-time scenario going on where these babies' body parts, these most vulnerable, these most innocent of all of us, are being used for this, and you have to say, what the blazes is going on? And then we get people, religious leaders even, that give this kind of activity a pass and say, oh, well, it's for this greater good. I mean, we're all going to be so much better off because we get this vaccine. It's sick and wrong. I mean, how much do we have to finally say, well, in my opinion, it's almost cannibalistic. We're eating our own young, whether it comes to the end of a needle or what. I mean, I'm speechless on what we're doing in the name of science and research and to protect our own miserable hides. And to give credence to this kind of thing, I believe that there will be an accounting ultimately and finally. And, of course, individuals have to take the accounting and so on, but as George Mason said in the Constitution Convention of 1787, nations don't exist in the eternities, and so they have to receive their rewards or punishments in this life. And as a consequence, nations can expect that when they're living improperly. And I think that our nation as a whole has basically, we're selling our souls for a mess of pottage. And this is just one example. I mean, there's countless other examples. I mean, how we're throwing our children and grandchildren into economic slavery because of the, you pick whatever it is, a COVID relief bill of $1.9 trillion or an infrastructure bill of $2.2 or $2.3, whatever trillion dollars it is. Nobody really cares anymore. It's just throwing numbers around. Nobody even thinks about it. I mean, the idea of throwing away our liberty and implementing socialism in this country, a form of government that's completely illegal under the United States Constitution. We just kind of happily skip down the path, and we give away these great and gracious gifts that we've been given. I mean, everything from life, liberty, and property is being thrown under the bus for some passing whim. It's just bizarre to me. I can't hardly even imagine it. It's just crazy. So, yeah.
It is crazy. There's things to be concerned about, no doubt about it, and the link of aborted babies and baby fetal tissue being sold and everything else, and the vaccines are all linked, folks. Don't fool yourself about that. It's also important, though, to understand that this Easter weekend was really a feast on spirituality if you focused on the right things, folks. And highlight... Go ahead, sir.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, Easter Sunday obviously is a focal point that we give. You know, you just talk about Christmas and things like that. You talk about the 4th of July and patriotism. What's astounding to me is that how rarely a lot of these things cross people's minds in their workaday lives. I mean, to me, gratitude is something, and this focus on appropriate behaviors and worships and all those kind of things, it ought to be a daily thing in our lives, you know? And certainly Easter is a good reminder, no question about it. But I would hope that every morning may begin with a recognition of the hand of God in our lives, you know, and multiple times during the day. So I distracted you. I'm sorry.
You're all right. Jeffrey R. Holland focused on something that I find interesting. He talked about the economy of goodness and observed that the biggest deficit is the paucity of love, hope, and charity. And the question then becomes, can we have a virtuous government without a virtuous people? And the answer is clearly no. But this is something that we really need to focus on well, is this idea. We have got to start to become kind, gentle, patient, loving people. Even when we disagree, even when we think people are off their rockers, even if we've got to somehow really highlight this civility piece. And I think that was one of the big takeaways, whether we jettison partisan politics or whatever else, we have got to step back from this ever-increasing divide and really make a difference. Not only did Jeffrey R. Holland speak about it in the General Conference for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but even Charles Barkley spoke out about the big divide among the people. Did you see that, Doctor?
Well, I didn't actually see it, but I got a little smattering of information on it. It's so good to see, common everyday human beings recognizing this, and it is a tragic travesty that we've allowed we've got to the point that half the nation hates the guts of the other half of the nation, and everybody that's on one side says, well, rightly so, and the other side says, well, rightly so. You know, they're all justified in their own positions, but the fact of the matter is, you mentioned virtue early in that little segment that you just commented on. I think back on George Washington in his inaugural address. He said that his administration would be based upon public and private virtue. And I think we need a lot of that. I mean, a lot of times in the world today, we have, you know, as our quote-unquote heroes, people that party hardy and they kind of drift between, rehab and jail, and they party in between, and marriage and childbearing seem to have no relationship or relation in the whole thing. And it's just the wheels have fallen off in so many of these things that are of such great prominence. And I think the good, common, I've told you before how I've traveled this country for decades, and I find the common folk, if you will, are good and noble, but the stuff we give to preeminence in our media, the talking heads on the news, the people that are our entertainment moguls and our people that are in athletics and all that kind of stuff, their moral standard is just slipped, and it's tragic.
I agree. Now, Charles Barkley nails your exact point here. This is really interesting. Charles Barkley has blamed politicians for dividing Americans, and he criticized both Republicans and Democrats, exacerbating problems between white and black people in the United States. The former NBA star, who is now a sports analyst with TNT, made the remarks on Saturday before a final four game between Baylor and Houston. He was talking about Martin Luther King's assassination in 68, and anyway, then they talked about Kennedy, and anyway, it went on. But in the end of the day, Barkley basically said, listen, I believe most blacks are good and most whites are good and most people are good. He said, man, I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, they're designed to make us not like each other so they can keep their grasp on money and power. And I believe Charles is spot on to Bradley.
Well, I believe he is also. And I know we've got to take a break, but it's Marxist in its origins. And we can come back and talk about that. That divisiveness is how Marx takes over. He proposed taking over countries. And I guess we got to
take a break.
All
right, get your thoughts together, Doctor,
back
in a flash, and we'll cover it on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Crews are working to prevent a real catastrophic flood situation and are evacuating people out of harm's way due to a leak at a wastewater pond in the Tampa, Florida area. So far, 316 homes have been evacuated and state authorities have closed portions of U.S. Highway 41. Manatee County officials are warning of a collapse at the Piney Point Industrial Site was imminent for the 77-acre wastewater pond. The old phosphorus plant in operation from 1960 to 2001 holds large pools of polluted water. India's Ministry of Health confirmed over 103,000 new COVID-19 infections on Monday. It's the first time India has reported over 100,000 new coronavirus cases in one day. Egypt held a five-mile procession of 22 ancient mummies in Cairo as they were moved from a museum where they had been for over a century to a new National Museum of Egyptian Civilization Saturday night. USA Radio News.
Awesome and amazing day, friends. Hey, we are headed towards St. Patrick's Day, Luck of the Irish. And I want to give a great shout out to one of the greatest coaches of all time, Lou Holtz, who gave me his permission to use his name and his likeness when I used to be in the banking world. But you don't need luck this year to get healthy. You don't need luck to lose your fat. You don't need luck to get off all those medications. No, all you need is to use those hands and log on to energizehealth.com or call us at 888-444-8895. Friends, you've heard Wayne talk about his amazing transformation, and you know Wayne is a crusader of truth and only speaks the truth. He would not be endorsing this protocol if it hadn't changed his life. You need to log on just to see that. So log on today to energizehealth.com or call us at 888-444-8895.
The Derek Chauvin murder trial will continue Monday in Minneapolis, Minnesota. As the border crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border worsens, video came out Friday showing human smugglers in the middle of the night dropping toddlers from atop a border wall into the United States and then running back into Mexico. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau has a border update.
During the visit, senators saw unaccompanied children, some with positive COVID cases, in cramped conditions inside makeshift tent-like structures.
We were told to delete the pictures. No one did. You've seen the video coming out of all of these kids crammed together under the foil blankets, huddling together. And when you have 10% of them who are positive already.
Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming, a member of the Republican Senate leadership on Fox News, would not say who told him to delete the pictures. Senator Ted Cruz posted video from a border facility in Donna, Texas, saying that a Biden administration staffer told him not to film.
Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley with me to preserve the nation, his goal. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. We're talking about this idea that, you know what, we got to be more kind and gentle and civil in society. Even folks like Charles Barkley, of all people, are speaking out about it. And believe it or not, Charles Barkley is spot on. Charles Barkley says politicians divide black, white, rich, poor America. And no doubt about it, they do it for money and gain and power and control. And you know what? Most people are good, says Charles. And I believe he's spot on. Most people don't have a racial agenda. Most people don't hate one another because of different beliefs. Most of us are just kind and genuine. And, hey, we get along in society quite well. But if you listen to the politicians and the professional do-gooders and the swamp monsters or whatever you want to say, there's divide everywhere. If you look at reality in America, it's not true. It's a lie. But the more they perpetuate the lie, the more true it becomes if we don't wise up and jettison that narrative. Now, Dr. Bradley, right before the pause, told you whose narrative it is. It's the narrative of the communists, of the socialists, of the Marxists, of those who want to destroy all we hold dear because they're antichrist. They're against God, doctor.
Well, it truly they are, and this has been, I mean, it's satanic in its origin. So all throughout history, you know, our diabolical enemy of God and Christ, Satan himself, has been fostering these things. And you say, oh, my goodness, you're bringing everything back to religion. Well, that's the problem, is that, well, it's not the problem. It's an issue. You know, the communists, whether it's the Illuminists that were back in the, you know, the times of Jean-Jacques Rousseau and the Bavarian Illuminists that came out in 1776, and the French Revolution, or anything coming down through the way that Marx and Engels put together in 1848 when it was published, or or you look at the Bolsheviks, or you look at Mao, or you look at Pol Pot, or whatever, they all have a set of an agenda, I guess, if you will. And number one on that is destruction of Christianity, getting rid of private property, eliminating the family, eliminating the organs of society that have been successful and everything like that, and putting in a new dictatorship. And they use this schism that they can create, all these divides, that, and they divide and conquer, and that's always been the way it has been. And it's interesting, you know, Barclay, you know, he was only 9 months old when John F. Kennedy died, and he was 5 years old when Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy. I mean, so these were very early in his age, I mean, in his life, but he has picked up some truisms about things, I think, as he talks about this. Back in the 60s, I was traveling the country something of a vagabond, I guess you could say. I wanted to see America, boots on the ground, and as a teenager saw it from Florida to Alaska and New York to California, and I fell in love with the country. The goodness of the people is amazing. But one of the things that was different then, I think, was that you did not have this division-baiting kind of thing. And I hate to say it's just race. It isn't race. I mean, it's economic. It's private property versus not private property. It's men against women. It's religion against religion. It's gender against gender, and that's kind of a generic term today, but you know what I mean. Everything has become so smeared, and nobody can seem to hang on to anything that's of traditional value. But in those days, I mean, the country pulls together in spite of the fact that there was a tremendous effort during the 60s to tear the country apart, and we could give a lot of examples of that. I mean, I was in Haight-Ashbury in 1968. I mean, come on. I mean, I wasn't partaking. I was observing. But at any rate, the fact of the matter is that traditionally Americans have pulled together. But there's a tremendous effort, and again, it's Marxist in its origins, and Marx canonized it in the Communist Manifesto about this division and this idea that we've got to have conflict, because out of conflict and enough turmoil, they think that they can remake society, and that's exactly what they're doing. And if Barclay speaking against that, I take my hat off to him, because there's some people that are recognizing that. Even, you know, a former athlete and a commentator now, that, good grief, we can make this work if people have quit fostering it. And Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propaganda minister for Hitler, used to talk about telling a lie big enough and often enough that it became truth. Well, that's what these baiters are doing, not just race baiters and gender baiters and economic baiters, and I mean, they're baiting everybody against everybody else, and they just throw enough mud against the wall, enough of it sticks, that we start dividing ourselves. And it's the intent is to conquer us, destroy everything that's sacred to us, everything virtuous, lovely, of good report, and praiseworthy. And I'm so grateful that somebody with a little preeminence, and maybe the kids will even recognize because of his historical athletic capabilities, you know. But
amen to that.
Anyway,
and I commend Charles Barkley, and I also commend Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, both of them speaking out, saying we need a more civil society. We need to be kinder and gentler. And you know what? We don't need to be dividing on every topic. We need to be kind to our neighbors and reach out to those around us. And, you know, we need people, ladies and gentlemen. We need silence in our lives to where we can focus on what's important. We need to understand, hey, what should be the focus of our day-to-day lives and interactions, and what things are important? How do you separate the good, better, and best and focus on the best? Well, I got a little bit of good news to mention, Dr. Bradley. So as you know, one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, number 10 is government compulsory education for all. So you know that's live and well in America today, and that's how they're really indoctrinating our children into the dividing us on every fault line possible plan. They're also dividing us on mixing up gender, etc. Male and female created God them, so let's be very clear. But they want to basically destroy all that through the government schools is one of their greatest tactics. But here's the good news piece. A new report from the U.S. Census Bureau found that the rate of homeschooling doubled from the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, listen, to the beginning of this school year. The survey found that only 5.4% homeschooled at the start of the pandemic, but now, listen, by fall of 2020, it's over 11%. Believe it or not, before the pandemic, it was only 3%. So since this pandemic, homeschooling has quadrupled, and there's zero signs of slowing down. That gives me some tremendous hope, Doctor.
Well, and it should. And I've always, not always, and it's diminished in recent years, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. There's a cautionary note with this. Many of the people, now see, our family was in the bleeding edge of the homeschooling movement back when our family members, extended family members, thought the SWAT team was going to come and kill my wife and I, take our kids, et cetera, when we started homeschooling. It's become much more mainstream, if you will. But the cautionary note is that many people that are entering into it are simply being co-opted into a public education school at home, where they take the public education, the drivel that they put out, and they deliver it by computer, and they're just destroying their families with that, delivering it in their home, which is poison in their home. Let me just read you something real quickly about that. It's just momentarily. There was a guy named Charles Francis Potter. He was a co-signer with John Dewey of the Humanist Manifesto in 1933. So this was a humanist individual. I mean, he wrote a book in 1930. And the title is very telling, Humanism, A New Religion. That's the title of the book. And so what we're doing with our humanists, and we're going to find out in this little 3-4-line statement, that the educational system of America is a religion, a faith-based system that does not have a divine God, and it's subverting the whole underpinnings of America using the public education system and the Marxist 10th plank. So here's what he said. Education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism, and every American public school is a school of humanism. What can the theistic Sunday schools, meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children, do to stem the tide of a 5-day program of humanistic teaching? That's the end of the quote, ladies and gentlemen. This is what is facing America. And think, this book was written, Humanism, A New Religion, in 1930. John Dewey came to be known as the father of modern American education. He's one of the co-signers with this Charles Francis Potter guy that wrote the book of the Humanist Manifesto, which has become the de facto American religion and American education outline. And so when Sam says, hey, he feels good, 11% of the people are now homeschooling, I'm going, woo-hoo. But if you're just taking the drivel that's being served in the public education and you're doing it on a computer at your home, and you're saying, I am a public education, I mean, a school that has stepped away from the public education system. You need to reevaluate. You need to make a difference.
There's no doubt about that.
If you can't do that better.
There's no doubt about that. Dr. Scott Bradley's warning is wise, and I completely, 1,000% agree with him. But I will say this. We got to celebrate baby steps as maybe they are. And we certainly got to provide those warnings and guidance. But I can tell you this, it's a start in the right direction. Quick pause on your radio.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal. One aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com. Or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, Dr. Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. So I agree with Dr. Bradley's wise warning. If we're just bringing our kids home to use the computer and then have them, you know, take the government dribble, the, you know, immoral communist views, the divide and conquer views, the misteaching, the indoctrination that goes on in the government schools, it's bad, no doubt about it. But the hope is, hey, if homeschooling quadruples, then more and more people understand it. More and more people can possibly embrace it. Even if you're home, the chances of parents seeing curriculum they disagree with increases. Parents with children being together gives a greater chance for a rescue out of those things. So even if that's happening, it isn't perfect by any means. And there's a wise warning against it. But even so, maybe parents can go, wait a minute, I didn't know my kid was learning that. Hold on a minute. I'm not. And hopefully the awakening is beginning. And I agree with the warnings, but I also agree and say it's a start. And it's up to each family and each individual to decide what they're going to do with it. Maybe some of the best teachers could jettison the government schools and teach online, and families can find those teachers and reward them. All it would take would be pennies from the masses. And all it would take is, you know, schools like the Khan Academies and other schools like that to really start to become more and more and more prominent. And with every one of these transitions, we have the chance to slip into the abyss. There's no doubt about it. But we also have the chance to make a real difference and see real change. And that's the prayer. And so it's a humble start, but it's something to acknowledge and provide a warning about. But to some degree, something to be grateful for as well, Doctor.
Absolutely. I agree with you. It's we've got to start somewhere. And, you know, in the beginning of this hour, you mentioned the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and some of the council. And I say to people, you know, if wisdom comes, regardless if it comes from a source that you had previously recognized, whether you're part of that faith or not, sometimes there's wisdom that can be picked up. And it comes to mind something that's related to this particular topic about education. 103 years ago, one of the presidents of the LDS faith, Joseph F. Smith, died. And 27 years ago, another president of that faith, Ezra Taft Benson, died. And so, but over that period of time, those two men brought forth a voice of warning about something. And they said there were three things that would threaten the church from within. Now, my position would be that this kind of threat could threaten the nation from within. And so I would mention it at this point. It's just come to mind, and do with it as you please. But they said there were three things that would threaten the church from within, and I would say, yes, indeed, the church as well as the nation. Praise of prominent men, false educational ideas, and sexual impurity. Those three things are destructive to churches and to nations. And if we start listening
Hold on. And to families, the fundamental unit of society.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. I mean, these things are foundational. If you start marching in the parade with the big, you know, if you're going with the mainstream of what America is doing right now based on what's being served to us through the media, the praise of prominent men, politicians, celebrities, whatever, that is destructive and threatening. The false educational ideas. If all we are is highly evolved animals, how can we expect any kind of behavior other than that from our children or grandchildren? if that's what we teach them, no divine purpose or anything like that. And the sexual impurity part, it undermines and destroys the very foundation. In fact, Montesquieu, one of the mentors, if you will, although he died before most of them were born, one of the mentors of the American founding fathers, he kind of categorized different forms of government. And a republic, which is what we were designed as, and we've largely lost it, but a republic, he described in one word, virtue. And he said, virtue was so important to a nation that if the women of the nation lost their virtue, I mean, he focused on them, and there's good reason for them. They're raising the next generation. You know, they're teaching the moral standard and the character to the children. He says, if the women in the nation lose their virtue, you will lose your constitution. So, praise of prominent men, false educational ideas, and sexual impurity threaten, as you point out, the family, the church, the nation, and indeed our peace throughout the entire world. And the farther we get from those proper principles being misled by those threatening dangers, I believe the greater our risk is. And in America today, everybody can take their own temperature, you know, I mean, and they can take the temperature of their community and their church and their nation. Everybody needs to do an assessment of where are we in those three dangers. The prominent men, holy cow, as we've talked about during this hour, they're the individuals that are bringing the divisiveness and the destruction. There are rare, almost non-existent individuals that have any clue at all about governance and about principled basis, anything. And the educational system, the humanist religion is being taught against the First Amendment, you know, and the establishment of a religion. It's a tax-supported religion taught in our public education systems, according to the guys that founded it. And then the sexual impurity, I guess you just got to kind of pull your head out of the sand and look around you and say, is that an issue too? I would submit they all are, and I submit that that's one of the, well, there are three of the reasons that we're in grave danger in this nation today, in our church today, and in our families. And I don't exclude any religions from that. I think every religion needs to assess how are those things threatening the core values the institution was founded originally to uphold. And if they're being whittled away, if we're listening to the voices of the world in those areas, I think there's cause for concern and we've got to recalibrate. I really do.
Ladies and gentlemen, three dangers that really threaten us all, folks, from within. Okay? The headline of the article that Dr. Bradley's talking about was written or, you know, discussed and spoken about by Ezra Taft Benson, one of the former church leaders. But three dangers that threaten the church from within. I'm just going to basically say three dangers that threaten us from within. Because it's really all of us, right? It's really important to understand these three dangers. And you know what? The flattery of prominent men, you know, it started with Barack Obama, this ratchet up the flattery. It was done before, but not to the extent. After Barack Obama, then it went to Trump. And, you know, we've got to jettison the flattery of prominent men. We got to reject false educational ideas and sexual impurity. We've got to really understand how critical these things are. And they say that the mother that rocks the cradle rules the nation. That's if she's a moral woman. And she can teach morality to her children. This is serious stuff, people. The importance of moral education. Look alive, people, is what I would say, Dr. Bradley.
Yeah, we've got to step up our game. There's no getting around it. And as that Potter quotation I read earlier states, you know, how in the world, in an hour-long, minimally attended Sunday school class once a week, and honestly, in our religion, we don't even do that anymore. A Sunday school class happens every other week for 50 minutes, 5-0. And that's a total of 17 hours a year, based upon some of the other things that interfere with those Sunday school classes, like conferences and so on. But 17 hours a year of religious education in Sunday school classes versus 40 hours a week in the humanist schools that are faith-based belief system for America today. Who do you think is going to win? And Potter pointed out, they can't win. The people that are doing the Sunday school classes, if that's all they're focused on, it ain't going to happen. And so that's why within our own families, within our own personal lives, I mean, our focus on the things that are truly of greatest value has got to take something more to the forefront than I've used the word several times in this little get-together, the drivel that we are being fed. And it's not just in school. It's just not a narrative. It's a script. And if you can take the way it comes across the media, for example, the COVID panic that's gone through, there was a script handed to the talking heads. You talk about the disillusion of the nation. You talk about even using the word democracy. I mean, for crying out loud, this is not a democracy, never intended to be a democracy, but every single thing we turn to is a pollution of the truth. And when our politicians and our talking news heads and our educators use the word democracy so often, our religious leaders use it incorrectly. And we're undermining the very underpinnings of this nation at every turn. And we've got to be soundly founded. We've got to return to the foundation. And I guess that's why I'm such a crank on this thing. I just see an erosion happening and a great apathy that settled upon the people. And it's really, truly, we're selling our heritage, our future, for a mess of pottage that doesn't need to happen. And our children and grandchildren will never know what we gave away, because there won't even be a vestige of remembrance of it. If we somehow put down these deep, strong, foundational issues and reiterate them constantly, all the time. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I get passionate about.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious, serious business, these discussions, in my opinion, that we're having here. You know, we don't just intend to flatter ourselves. We intend to truly highlight concern. But then we truly want to point out solutions, ladies and gentlemen. And I think the solutions start with education. All right? The importance of moral education. Look alive, people. The three dangers that threaten us from within, whether it be the church, whether it be society, whether it be your family, flattery of prominent men in the world, false educational ideas, sexual impurity. You know what? People are being homeschooled, which is a great start. Let's make sure it takes real root. All right? Let's make sure we focus on Jesus Christ. Let's make sure that we reject the pro-death agenda, the murderous intent of abortions and the buying and selling of body parts. Let's reject that satanic, cannibalistic style evil. Let's promote the supreme law of the land. All right? Man needs to be accountable for his own sins. In order to do that, he must have moral agency, ladies and gentlemen. Therefore, you know what? We need to use the principles of God, family, country to preserve that agency. If we do not, ladies and gentlemen, there will be dark days ahead indeed. However, I have hope and faith that we will. That we will step up to the plate and save the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, from enemies, foreign and domestic. That we will stand up for the moral principles, and we will have a contingent of God-fearing people that will await the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our only King. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our prayer. I testify he lives. As Easter highlights the reality of the resurrection, he lives and he loves us, and he is the author of our liberty. Never forget it. Turn to him, repent, have faith, and let us receive blessings that he so willingly gives us if we do what he asks us to do, thus qualifying for those sacred blessings. For Sam Bushman and Dr. Scott Bradley, check out his website, freedomsrisingsun.com, my website, libertyroundtable.com, and our nationally syndicated radio network, lovingliberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.